So this is the, since January was the five weeks, because we had the Burning Bowl ritual, and it was the launch of the teaching as we start every year. This is the first of our, the first of the year's theme, which is Yes and Now. And in a less responsible hands, this could be a great subject for a good motivational speaker to get you all fired up. But the truth is, it is so grounding. It is such a spiritually grounded principle that I don't need any whimsical ways of getting you fired up. The practice of yes and now is spiritually, mystically, even somewhat mysteriously grounded in principle. It's a strength that hopefully I will prove in our conversation. And last week when Reverend Joel was here and he referred to me as the most yes person he knows, or one of the most yes people he knows, it was kind of like, oh yeah, that's actually kind of a thing that I know about myself. And it was a lesson I learned from my spiritual teacher. She would just say yes. She would consistently say to me, just say yes, or us. And so I want to tell a story that many of you already know, but those of you who are here maybe for the first time or haven't been around might not know it. But it's how yes works. This is the perfect example of how yes works. We opened on October 6th, 2002. Okay, we didn't have a building. We were what we call a church, lovingly call a church in a box, for 4 years. The office was in my home. We did services on Sunday one place. We did classes somewhere else. We did workshops somewhere else. It was miraculous that people actually followed us and kept finding us. You know, it was that kind of thing. So one day I get a phone call from one of my she wasn't even a practitioner intern yet because we hadn't started classes yet. She was a friend of a practitioner from the Agape Center in California, Reverend Michael Beckwith's center. And Reverend Michael used to come east every other year to go to the United Nations. And then they would bring the choir. Now, this mattered to me because Reverend Michael, the first time I saw him and saw the choir, that's what created the spiritual prototype for me. I got, oh, this is what ministry can look like and sound like. And it was seeing him that day that said, oh, okay, because it was just so inspirational. And so here it was, we were opening, they were coming east, he was going to the United Nations, and the choir had arranged to come in. The choir pays for all of their own travel. So about 75 people were coming in, and for some reason, they're brilliant, they're not all that well organized, they hadn't arranged to do a concert here. So all of a sudden, they're scrambling to do a concert somewhere. These incredible voices, Ricky Byers, who has been an inspiration for many of our musicians, and music that just sings to our soul. And so what happened was, a friend of a friend, that kind of thing that went happen, it finally came to me and said, would you like to have the Agape Choir in a concert? And I went, yeah! Now, mind you, I had no building. Okay? We didn't have a building. We didn't even have an office other than what was in my home. We had nothing. But the yes. We had the yes. I did not even hesitate. I'm telling you, there wasn't a breath in between the question and the answer, which is part of the magic of when you say yes. Yes has a timing. It has a timing that makes it potent. And so what happened was, I didn't stop. If anybody had taught me or thought, made me think, you might want to reconsider this, I might not have. If anyone had told me opening a church while raising a young child as a single mom might be a little difficult, I might have thought about that and said no. But I didn't say no to that either. That was another yes. I said yes and then figured it out. I'm still trying to figure it out. it's quite a trip. So I said yes. So the very next day, now I'm in the car with who turned out to be Reverend Rich. He wasn't a practitioner yet either. Actually, he was a student, but he was our musician, our lead musician and a supporter. We really, literally went into Montclair and started knocking on church doors and saying, can I have a concert here? I had no presence in the community. I had no presence. I had nothing but the yes. And so what happened was, I'm riding by and I'm seeing that, that congregational church that's over on, where is that, Celine?
Fullerton.
And I'm looking at the size of this place. Beautiful, beautiful Gothic architecture. So we go there. Celine calls the guy, the minister. I knock on the door. Between the phone calls, he took time to get on the website. And somehow, just by getting on the website, checking out Reverend Michael, checking out the Agape Choir, checking the whole thing out, he caught the vision. And he said, yeah. I mean, yeah. Now, he hadn't asked his people yet. He had to go back. So Wednesday night, we were visioning with all of our group. I don't remember who was there at the time. But we're there visioning around this event because we're moving forward. We're moving into the yes, right? So we finish our visioning, the phone call rings, and it's Reverend Scott Howell who said, my board said yes. At any point along that line, had I allowed fear or doubt enter the equation, there would have been a done deal. That was a confidence builder like I can't tell you for our entire community, which was already a growing community. Yeah.
And I'm sorry, there was only 17 days.
Oh, yes. There was 17 days, that's right. There was 17 days between the yes and the now of the event, actually. And part of that, I went on my back because I freaked myself out, and my back went out. So I'm visioning with Ricky Byers on the phone, coast to coast, on, you know, we're creating this event by phone. I'm communicating with my people by phone and getting massage and going to the chiropractor because I freaked myself. I forgot to mention that. It was in the winter, too. So we had 17 days, and this is what we decided to do. We wanted to go see Reverend Michael, so we arranged for buses to take us to the United Nations to see his address, and then we arranged for buses to bring him and all of the choir members from New York City here, and then we had to feed them and then have the event and bring them back in the winter with snow and cold. We said yes. 17 days, we said yes. Would you have thought about that if you had seen a timeline in advance? No, you're very practical, logical head says, oh God, that's ridiculous. No, we can't do that. Oh, we need more time. Oh, we need marketing. It showed us who we were. So Reverend, I keep wanting to call her Reverend, Dr. Ricky, actually, she has a doctorate now. Ricky now refers to us in the community as the little church that said yes. So we actually have that reputation now out there. I said yes when we said yes to Marianne Williamson, having no idea what I was saying yes to. To this day, I still think it was a bit of a nightmare. The details were beyond what we could have ever anticipated. But the value of that for years later, how many people, is there anybody here who found out about us because of Marianne Williamson? Oh, I see, at least, oh no. But there are people who have come to us years later because of that event. We have said yes to a variety of things. What did you want to say, Ingrid? Oh, yeah. And it was a humongous event. Yes is not simple. It is potent. Now, I'm not referring to those of you who make the mistake in thinking that by saying yes to everything everyone asks you to do, you're going to find your value in life. Anybody know that story? You overindulge, you oversay yes, you overcommit, and you might not be thinking about it, but really what that's grounded in is that you're looking for your self-worth. And unfortunately, we have the mistake of thinking that our self-worth is in our doing. We think that if I volunteer enough, I say yes enough, that you'll love me or that I'll find my value. You cannot find value where it does not exist. You can't find value where it doesn't exist. So the assumption at that point is that it exists. You have been conditioned, most of us, anybody from a past Christian teaching? Christian, you know, I mean, any kind of, any form. So most of the conditioning there at some point was that you had to be morally good. I still am okay about that. I don't mean to take that away in general, but that, you know, that you had to be doing the right things. Face it, there's no room there, or there's not a lot of room. In some centers, in some churches, there's a room for the homosexuals, but there's still not a lot of room. There's still a problem there. There's still a disconnect. So you haven't been conditioned to say, my good is inherent. So where somebody walks up to you and pays you a compliment or supports you, you have this buffering system. Because you're waiting to see, am I really good? Do I really deserve that love? Is it really okay to ask for more? And there's this gigantic buffer. Your good is inherent. Your good is inherent. You have forgotten it. You have been distracted from it in a lot of places. So the yes, the practice of yes, is the remembering. We sing a lot of songs about I am remembering, right? We do that pretty often. We have a couple of versions of I am remembering. What are you remembering? You're remembering that your good is inherent, that your good is in hand, that you don't have to do something to already have that which is innately yours. Our life is the outpicturing of our consciousness. So if in your consciousness you are taking on ideas of limitation, your life will show as that limitation. But it is not just because you're a good person or a not so good person. You get to make mistakes and still deserve good. You understand that? You get to make mistakes. I get to make mistakes. Matter of fact, I demand the right to make mistakes. I will not be held to something accountable that's higher than what everyone else is. I get to be in my humanity, and so do you. But that has nothing to do with your good. So the yes that I'm talking about is the yes for the realization, is for that freeing of that which already exists. You with me? You understand? Yes opens doors, and yes to creates a magic. Although it's not magical, it's the law, it's scientific. But it is the door opener. It is absolutely the door opener. When we say yes to our inspiration, magic happens. If you stop and question it too often, you will find yourself doing this. You know that? You ever see someone who drives with one foot on the brake and one foot on the gas? See those people? They drive me crazy. If I'm in the car with you, I'll pull my hair out. But that's what it's like. Yeah, I'm good, but oh, I don't know. Oh, yeah, no, I deserve that. Oh, maybe I don't. Make up your mind. Now, not some other time also, not some other time. Make up your mind now. Don't wait to say, well, maybe first I got to take enough classes, and then when I take enough classes, then I deserve my good. When I'm finished with Reverend Joel's mission success, then I can be prosperous. Uh-uh. And he'll be the first to tell you, your consciousness of prosperity is already here. Your yes is to let it out. Your yes is to free it. Well, if I forgive everybody, and then I'll find the person I'm in love with. Find the person you're in love with now and let it be you. Let it be you. Because not for nothing, then even if there's a delay in finding that person, you'll be a heck of a lot happier while you're waiting. I vote for happiness. Is that okay with everyone else?
Yes.
Yeah. So yes is your door opener. Yes is your allowance. Yes is your acceptance. Yes is, I think, has been overlooked as a potent word, as a spiritual practice. I'm sure it's been overlooked. And so where now comes in, because what else do you have? There is only, literally, there's only now. Anything else is an illusion. Most of us will wake up tomorrow. Probably all of us will wake up tomorrow, and many tomorrows thereafter. But you actually don't know that, do you? We're, you know, my family, we're very blessed. We have a relatively healthy family on both sides in all directions. I've had very little in-family hospital visits in my lifetime. We've been a very healthy family. And then the other day, I get a phone call that my stepdaughter, Bill Sarnowski's daughter, that she was having trouble with her vision, and she was losing her peripheral vision. Well, one thing led to the next, with lots of prayer support all over the place. Be clear, we're completely in practice. But they wound up the other day in a five-hour surgery, removing a small soft tissue growth from her brain, the size of a small lemon. We were touching on the edge of, Will she be with us? You understand? Don't take life for granted. Don't take it for granted. Don't wait till tomorrow to forgive that person. Pick up the phone and call your kids, even if they haven't called you. Pick up the phone and call your mom and dad, even if they haven't called you. Make amends today. Because I'm telling you, one significant person will leave your life and you'll learn this lesson forever. Did anyone wait till it was too late to learn that lesson? I bet more of you did. Don't wait. Proactively live in now. Proactively take care of your stuff now. And part of the way that we do that proactively is simply by not creating new things to be forgiving someone for. You know, usually what happens, we spend the first part of our spiritual journey getting clean, getting caught up. And hopefully the rest of whatever's left, it's just that you're not cleaning anything old up. Right? You get that? I mean, that's the beauty of becoming conscious, and awake. And learning to have potent conversations, peaceful conversations, learning to live a compassionate life, to be more understanding, to be more patient. Because then you're not making up messes. You're like, oh, man, I got to clean this up. You don't hear most conscious people cleaning up stuff once they're finally awake. Because we've done our work, at least hopefully. There'll be a little fallout. There'll be a little bit here and there. It'll happen. But what I know for you is that it'll be brief. You'll catch it very quickly because you're fully aware there is no guarantees about anything but this moment. Don't think about writing that book. Write it. Don't, you know, if you're tired of living in New Jersey, get out. I get it. But you know, yeah, maybe. Get out. Go where your heart calls you. I think this weather is all my fault. For years I spent wishing for more snow. I think I got all of my wishes and prayers this year. So I personally apologize for all of what we're looking at. What? It's the year of yes. Yeah, I got my snow all this year. There's who's ringing? What's ringing? Am I hearing ringing? What? Okay. So, get me back. Yes. Say yet, yes. Thank you. Your inspiration has been tapping you. Some of you, it's been slapping you. You know, that, and that's what will happen. So if there's a new job or a new profession or a new idea or a song or a poem or something, first it's a little tiny touch, a little tiny tap. You know what that tap turns into if you don't listen to it? It turns into illness. It turns into sickness. It turns into cysts in the body. So listen when? Now. Say yes when? Now. And what do you say?
Yes.
Not yes to your fault. Not yes to put you over the edge of responsibility. Let me just say that again. Someone else's yes isn't your yes. Your yes is your yes. But when there's an invitation that resonates with your heart, say yes. I never would have considered ministry until I saw Reverend Michael that time. And I saw him, and I don't think his feet touched the floor. I don't. I felt like he was levitating before my eyes, because that was just the air and the vibration that was there that day. So within the Science of Mind teaching, we are here to learn how to use our thinking to open our hearts and open our minds. That's what we study here. How do I move into greater acceptance of my good? That's my job. That's what we do here. In all different directions, but primarily through the power of prayer. So when you're working with a prayer practitioner, what it is it's them chipping away a little at a time to the parts of you that have been in resistance. Because, you know, there's the universe. I want you to imagine this. I want you to, and we've talked about this before, imagine that the universe is there consistently trying to pour good over you. It's consistently trying to give you more. It's consistently inspiring you. And then there's you in the space. And as you grow in your consciousness takes up a larger and larger space. Now, where the limitations of your consciousness butt up against the good of God, that's where you feel the pain and suffering. That place of resistance. It's only resistance out of conditioning. There's no real reason for it. It's not really warranted. It's just the conditioned habit. But every time you butt up to the universal good, you will feel it. You know that feeling's like? You know, that little bit of fear you can't quite justify. The little bit of doubt that just seeps into places. You go to an inspirational talk and you're fired up and you're like, yes, I'm going to live my life by being more open and more available. And yes, I'm going to do that. And someone comes along and says, hey, Chris, you want this new job? Because you know what? You can be free of the old conditioning, and you can be free of that staff that you don't really like to work with. And you're like, yeah, I want to do it. And then you might think one step too much. And you go, oof, I don't know. I like what is. I'd rather stay comfortable. That's not for Chris. I want to affirm that's not for you. But that's what happens. You think one thought too many. I think that you're feeling that by the looks of your faces, that you know the times you've done that. So now is the perfect time to count your blessings every day. And one thing about yes regarding prosperity is that you are probably, everybody sitting here is more prosperous than you could possibly imagine. And if you doubt that, go traveling. You could easily say to yourself right now, wow, I am prosperous, if you started looking around. There is nothing to prevent your good but your lack of willingness to accept it. So let's make this a year of practicing yes. Let's make it a year of practicing yes and doing it now. One invitation at a time. One moment of inspiration at a time. Are you with me?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Good. So let's cinch this in prayer. Hold the hand of someone next to you, if you will, please. So know with me right now that there is a yesness that's happening all around us, that the idea of yes is finding its way in through and as the consciousness of every person sitting here and of everyone connected to this center, that yes opens doors. Yes, paves the way. Yes, inspires and lifts and moves and motivates not only you, but everyone in your life. Life wants to show up. Life wants to celebrate you. Life, if it had its way, would be celebrating itself through you in all moments. So let us commit to living into the yes and now of life, the yes and now of opportunities, the yes and now of inspirations. Let us commit to opening the door of our mind and having that door connect with our soul. At a soul level, life is good. At a soul level, life is working. Let us feel it and know it and be it. Let us trust ourselves. Let us learn to trust that which is inherently ours. This is a good and glorious day. I am so grateful. And I ask you to say with me, yes and now.
Yes.
And so it is.
Yes.